Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. Today we continue to read in the New Testament book of Acts, and our scripture passage can be found either on the back of your worship guide or on page 930 of the Pew Bible in the seat back in front of you. We pick up as Christ's messenger Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. Paul knows that God, the Holy Spirit, has directed him to go to Jerusalem, but he also knows that suffering and imprisonment await him there. Today we learn that following God's will sometimes lead us into difficult places. Please follow along as I read Acts 21, beginning at verse 1. This is the Word of God. "And when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. And having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey. And they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home. When we had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and we greeted the brothers and stayed with them for 1 day. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had 4 unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, 'Let the will of the Lord be done.' After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge." Please be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would use it in our hearts today. Holy Spirit, we know that it's your word, living and active. So penetrate our hearts with it today in the ways we need to hear it. Shed light on the word, shed light into our hearts. Convict us, heal us, do all the work that your word needs to do in our heart today. By your power, Holy Spirit, we ask that Jesus Christ would be exalted, the Father would be glorified. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, some of you may in this room may remember in 7 o'clock on October 22nd, 1962, probably I don't know how many in this room would remember that. Many, probably. John F. Kennedy got on television, and he was telling the nation about what they just discovered in seeing nuclear weapons on the island of Cuba. And if you were around at that time, you know it was a very tense time in our nation, because we knew that this could be we could be on the brink of nuclear war. And so it was a very tense time for the nation, and so the president got on television and told the nation about what actions they were choosing to take as a nation, we were choosing to take as a nation. At the end of his speech, he said this: "The path we've chosen for the present is full of hazards, as all paths are, but it is the one most consistent with our character and courage as a nation and our commitments around the world, and one path we shall never choose, that is the path of surrender." It's interesting because those are similar words. They probably could be said by the Apostle Paul in his mindset in going to Jerusalem that we just read about in Acts chapter 21. The course ahead of him is full of hazards, but it's a path that God had chosen for him. And Paul knew he had to take it, and the only path not to take was go his own way and ignore the Lord's will, ignore the Lord's path, and take his own path. It was a course that he could not take, a path he could not take. He knew he had to follow. And unlike what President Kennedy said in the Cuban Missile Crisis, this was a path that Paul didn't choose for himself. And it probably is not a path that Paul would have chosen for himself if you think about it. Why would anybody choose suffering and possible death that's ahead? Why would Paul not have chosen this path? Because he knew that was probably what was ahead, and we saw it by what the prophet Agabus said, which really confirms what the Holy Spirit had said to Paul in the previous chapter. Remember last week in chapter 20, Paul said the Spirit had shown him that only thing that lie ahead for him were afflictions and imprisonment. And so we see the similar thing, the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul and the others around him through Agabus the prophet in verses 8 to 10 or 11. Notice what happens in verse 8 through 11. They get to Caesarea and they enter the house of Philip the evangelist. And then we read in verse 10 that while he was staying with Agabus, the prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And he came to them and he took Paul's belt and he bound his feet and bound his hands. And he said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem are going to bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." In other words, Paul's going to be bound, handed over to the Gentiles, imprisoned. It's going to be a bad time for Paul. We see that Paul knew afflictions and imprisonment were ahead. Now, try to put yourself in Paul's shoes. Imagine that were the case with you. Imagine that you knew you were on the path, you're traveling somewhere, and you knew, let's say you're going to Europe or you're going on some trip, and you know that path is going to lead to bad things. How would you feel? What would it feel like to know that afflictions and suffering are ahead? And it's hard for us sometimes to know what that would feel like, because for most of us, we don't get a foresight or a vision or a prophecy that tells us those things are ahead. They only come upon us. But imagine if you did know. I mean, would you be depressed? Would you want to avoid that path and say, okay, I'm not going to Europe or I'm not going to this place? Paul must have felt those things because Paul was human just like the rest of us in following Christ. It was surely not a path that Paul would have chosen for himself, but it was a path that Paul had to go on. I'm sure if Paul chose his path, it would have looked something like this. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to preach, and all the Jews are going to hear the message, and they're going to respond. There's going to be a changing, a turning upside down of Jerusalem, of all the Jews are going to hear of this Christ and recognize, have their eyes open to see that he's the Messiah. He's the Lord. And all Israel will be changed and transformed. And my people, the Israelites, will hear and turn to Christ. And there will be a great praising of the Lord Jesus in the nation of Israel. I'm sure that's the picture Paul would have loved, the path Paul would have loved to choose for himself. But that wasn't the path that was to be. The path that Paul was to go on, God the Holy Spirit told him, was one of suffering. At some point, Paul had to wrestle with that. He would have had to wrestle and face this fact that it was going to be suffering. So what God's really telling us in this experience with Apostle Paul today is that as we follow him and his will, there are times when God is going to lead us down paths that we don't want to go on, or he's going to lead us down painful paths. That's what I want you to notice today in our text. God sometimes leads us down painful paths as we follow him. And how do we follow God and his will in painful paths? Well, there are a few things that we learn in this chapter 21 that are important for us to hear. First, we must prepare for painful paths. We must prioritize in the painful paths, and we must see a purpose in our painful paths. Let us prepare. We need to prepare for painful paths, and that really is what the Apostle Paul did. Look at verse 13. He was prepared for this. After they get the prophecy from Agabus that it's going to be bad for him, the people in verse 12 with him, Luke and the other people, and then the people from Caesarea, all are urging him not to go. And then 13, we read this. Paul answered them, and what did he say? "What are you doing? Weeping, you're breaking my heart. For I am ready not only to be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Notice what Paul says at the beginning of those words, "For I'm ready." I'm ready for this, Paul's saying. I'm ready. I'm prepared. How did Paul get ready for such a thing? Well, think about it for a minute. Think about all that Paul had seen and heard up to this point. You remember how Paul's life worked. He was a Jew who was persecuting the church, the Christian church. He was hauling Christians in, and he was going up to Damascus to persecute other Christians, grab them, drag them into prison, and kill them. And remember, he was struck down on the road to Damascus by the Lord Jesus himself. Struck down, blinded, and then remember his companions led him to Damascus after Jesus said he would serve him. And remember, he went to this man named Ananias. And remember, Ananias was a Christian in Damascus who had been given a word from the Lord himself. God had come to Ananias and said, "Ananias, there's going to be a man coming to you, Saul of Tarsus, and you need to tell him these things, and I'm telling you something about his life." And remember the word that the Holy Spirit gave to Ananias about Paul's life. The Holy Spirit said this: "He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Listen to this, what the Holy Spirit said about Paul: "I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Now, the Holy Spirit told this to Ananias. Surely Ananias told this to Saul when he arrived at his house too. He said, "Saul, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I have to tell you, the Holy Spirit told me that he's going to teach you what it means to suffer for the name." So Paul heard this. It was at the very beginning of his journey as a Christian. Then, after meeting with Ananias, he, as a follower of Christ, is immersed in Christ's word and his teaching. Think about what he heard from the Lord Jesus. Okay, this is what Jesus taught and said. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, now we know as Luke's gospel, at that time it was just the word that they knew Christ said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and killed, and on the third day raised. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so Paul looks at Christ's life, and he sees his life of suffering, poverty, and a cross, and he sees Christ calling to him. It says, "Follow me, take up your cross and follow me, deny yourself," the way the inclinations, the way that Paul wants to go, the path Paul wants to take, "and come follow me and take up your cross and do it," which means take up death, suffering. And this was all percolating in Paul's mind. He had much time to think about these things. And it came out in his teaching, because remember in Acts 14, so Paul is now converted. He's immersed in the teachings of Christ and the life of Christ. And then he goes to preach the gospel to other people. And then he teaches them and teaches them the way of Christ. And in Acts 14, we're told what Paul and Barnabas said to the new converts. They said this when they went back strengthening them. "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, they were encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying this: through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." This is how Paul was being prepared for this very thing he's facing of going to Jerusalem. Paul had been prepared. That's why Paul could say to these believers, "I'm ready for this." This is not strange to me. This is not a new thing popping onto the scene for me. I've been told as a follower of Christ, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. This is how I follow the path of my Lord. I'm ready. So Paul was into ready. I think of it like firemen or lifeguards living a prepared life. Think about it. Firemen are prepared and trained so that when the building catches on fire and that alarm goes off, they're at the ready. They know buildings are going to burn. They know people are going to be in danger. They're ready. It's when the emergency starts that they kick in to do what they've been ready to do. The same thing with lifeguards. They're trained. What do I do when somebody's going under? What do I do when somebody yells for help? It's when the emergency happens, they're ready. They're prepared. They knew this would be coming. It's part of their job. Paul's singing the same thing as an apostle here. And as a Christian, this is not just Paul the apostle. He's a Christian. He's one of us saying, I'm ready for this. I've been prepared for this. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ. So the same thing is true of us. What we need to hear from this as Christians today is, you know, this is what we need to be prepared for, to be ready to go on a path that you may not choose. A path maybe God has chosen for you through his strange providence. You're in a hard place today, this week. You're doing something in your retirement that you never intended to do. You're helping your grandkids. You're helping your great-grandkids. You're in turmoil. You're in difficulty. You're saying, wait a second. I had to plan this to be the golden years. These aren't the golden years. And it kind of frustrates me. Or do you say, wait a second. This is what I've been preparing for all my life, that this is a path God's given for me, and I know he can give us paths that we always don't always want to go down, but I'm ready, like the Apostle Paul. I expect this. I'm not surprised at it. Peter said that. Don't be surprised at the sufferings you're enduring right now, as if something strange were happening to you. Be ready. And this, I'll tell you, this is the benefit of you and I as believers spending time soaking and immersing in God's word more than the world. Because the word is what prepares us and gets us in a mindset to say, this may be coming. I have to be ready for it, because the world doesn't do that. The world says you shouldn't ever have to suffer, and if you do, sue them. Or if you do suffer, something is wrong and you've got to change it or get out of that situation. Do everything you can do to get out of it, because the number one objective in life is to be comfortable. The world tells you that. So then if we're fed with that every day, the more that we're immersed in that, things come upon us and we go, this isn't fair. And God says, didn't I tell you, take up your cross and follow me? Didn't I? Jesus could never be called a false, deceptive salesman, a bait and switch, could he? No, he came to us and said, anyone who comes after me must die. You're going to have to die. You're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to deny yourself. This is what following me is like. It means death. It means going through the path that I, your Lord, went through. So the path God may choose for you may be seeking reconciliation with an enemy you don't want to do. But you're following Christ, you say, Lord, okay, I need to do it. Maybe loneliness, depression, anxiety, maybe all the things that normal people go through, it may be things that just you go through as a Christian because you're at a place in life where you need to follow Christ, and doing his will is going to mean suffering. But as Christians, we're ready because we know, like Paul said, I'm ready. I know what this entails, and I'm not surprised at it. So first thing as Christians, we need to be prepared for painful paths. But a second thing we see here is that we need to prioritize in the painful path that we're in. So we're in the midst of the painful path. We need to prioritize. In other words, what's the main thing I am called to do in this painful path? The number one priority is to do God's will, not what anybody else says. And there are times in life when that priority is going to be challenged. That well-meaning friends may come to you and say, no, you shouldn't take that path. And that's exactly what was happening to Paul, the apostle here, isn't it? Notice what happened in chapter 20, remember? He said, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit of God. This is where I'm supposed to go. The Holy Spirit's made it clear to me. And notice in verses 4 and 12 of chapter 21 that his friends say differently. Remember, Paul comes to the city of Tyre. He sees these Christians, and look at what verse 4 says. Having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Now, that may be confusing to some of you because you read the text, you go, wait a second. Chapter 20, the Holy Spirit told Paul to go to Jerusalem. Now these people, through the Spirit, are telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Is the Spirit contradicting himself here? Is he saying one thing to one group, one thing to another person? That doesn't make sense. And it is confusing, but one thing we do know is the Spirit doesn't contradict himself. God doesn't contradict himself. So we know that's not a path we can go down. So one solution of, well, maybe it is just a contradiction that God's telling one person one thing, one person another. No, actually, that's not a path. So we close that one off and we go, wait a second. So is there more light shed on this of what was happening, what could have been happening here? Well, there is in verse 12. Notice in verse 12, the same thing happens, but we get a little bit more of the picture. This time, Paul's in Caesarea. And notice, Agabus has come in verses 8 to 11, as I just said, and said, Paul's going to face suffering in Jerusalem. And what do his friends do in verse 12? Notice, when we, Luke's saying we, I was with the group, the whole group, and these other Christians from Caesarea, we heard this, we and the people there in Caesarea urged him not to go to Jerusalem. Why did they do this? Because they loved Paul. They were his friends, right? They didn't want to see him suffer. And they heard what the Holy Spirit said. It's going to be suffering. So they're saying to Paul, don't go. So verse 4 is really a condensed version of that. Fewer words. A picture of the same thing happening where, yeah, through the Spirit, these people in Tyre were told Paul would suffer. And so they're telling him, Paul, don't go. This is going to be terrible. You may die. He's telling them, no, the Holy Spirit has told me to go. Afflictions await me, yes, but that's part of my calling in following Christ. And so don't dissuade me. And I love this word that he says to them, like, what are you guys doing? You're breaking my heart here. Can't you imagine a picture of Paul saying that? Like, stop that. You're making me cry. You're not helping me in my duty. I need to go to Jerusalem. I know you love me, but I need to do it. And sometimes friends can unwittingly get in the way of that. R.C. Sproul told a story once. It was very interesting, of his dad at the beginning of World War II. So it's 1941, December 7th. Pearl Harbor happens. We're attacked by Japan. And the next day, and we declare war. And then the next day, December 8th, was the biggest day of volunteers going to the military office, recruiting office ever. Sam, you would have loved it. I mean, just people flooding into your office saying, can I join up? December 8th. So R.C. tells a story that his dad was too old at that point, just past the line to serve. So he was asked, though, to be on the draft board. And so he determined which young men would go and which young men would not go to World War II. And after a few weeks of that, R.C. said one day what surprised the whole family, he showed up at the back door with an army uniform on. And they were all aghast and said, what are you doing? He said, I could not sit there and send men away to war and not serve myself. There's got to be a way I can serve. And I went to the military and they said, I can serve in this way and I'm going. And his mom, R.C. said, begged with him not to go. And R.C. said it was a picture of this with Paul, the apostle, that sometimes well-meaning loved ones will hinder the duty of one called to duty. That can happen. God may tell you to do something in his word that's convicting you, pressing on your heart, that it's true, and this is where it says it's true. And a well-meaning relative or friend or mother or father or child may say to you, don't do that. But you need to listen to the Lord and not the well-meaning friend in that case. There are times when friends will do that, again, not maliciously. I'm sure Peter wasn't maliciously trying to take the devil's side with Christ, right? Remember, Christ said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, die, and rise again. And Peter said, no, Lord. No, you can't do that. Try to get in his way. And Jesus said, behind me, Satan. Peter did that because he loved Jesus, right? But he was unwittingly an obstacle. And that's what we can have in our lives of friends or relatives that may deter us or try to deter us from taking the path God tells us to take. You may be in a marriage as a wife struggling to love your husband in a difficult marriage and suffering emotional anguish. You may be facing a decision at work where you've got to do what God tells you to do and be honest and honor him. You've got to say something and it may lose you your job, or you may read about giving your money, investing in the kingdom of God to come, and you read about the poor widow giving her last money, even that she had to eat on, and so you give money to someone one day, and you don't even eat lunch that day. You can't because you give the money to someone else. And you have friends around you saying, wait a minute, no, you can't do that. Get out of that marriage. You should not have to suffer emotional pain. You may have a friend telling you, no, you've got to keep your job. You've got to feed your family. You can't be just, yeah, I know you. I know what God says, but. You say, no, I've got to follow the Lord. Or you say, you can't give your money to the poor. You've got to think about retirement. Say, you've got to follow the Lord's direction. So these are the quandaries we get in as God's people. Now, please don't misunderstand me in saying that. It doesn't mean that God can't speak through the counsel of good friends and for the word through others, right? We'd be open. But we're open like Martin Luther was open to recant, right? Martin Luther said, if you convince me by scripture, I'm in. But if you can't convince me by scripture, I've got to go with the word of God. I'm constrained. I'm compelled. See, you do the same thing we do as believers. We listen to our friends, but when we compare it to the word of God or listen to their arguments and say, is this a biblical word of God argument? Or is this just because I know you care about me and you love me and you don't want to see me hurt? And we, as Christians, decide, Lord, what do you want for me? And I know it may be a painful path, and I know it gets hard. Your relatives say, don't do this. And they may even turn on you and you say you're an idiot for doing it. But you're like Paul. You say, I have to do your will, Lord. Whatever path that takes me, it may be a painful path. But Lord, I'm ready for that. I'm prepared and I've got a priority that I follow you, not friends. Third thing we see here is we need to see purpose in our painful paths. And Paul surely saw a purpose for his painful path. And that purpose gave him strength to persevere in the difficulty. What was Paul's purpose? Look at verse 13, how he answers those who tell him not to go. He answered them, saying, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but to die in Jerusalem. Why? For the name of the Lord Jesus. For the name. There's a lot wrapped up in the name. In a person's name, think about it. You work all your life, and your character is developed, and your name is known as a certain kind of person. Your reputation precedes you, right? People talk about you in a certain way because your name brings things to mind. And a name means a lot. We saw that this past week, right? With our 41st president's death. George Herbert Walker Bush meant some. That name meant something. So it meant this. You could hear George W., his son, giving the eulogy. It had character behind it. It had service to the society and our culture and our nation. You know, he was a war veteran. He was a Navy pilot who was shot down. He was an ambassador. He was a vice president. He was a president. All that's wrapped up in the name. A name means a lot. And so in this case, think about what Paul's saying. I'm doing all this for what? For the name of the Lord Jesus. That great Lord. And what's wrapped up in his name? Think about what Paul's saying in that. Paul knew what was wrapped up in the name, and he gives us an explanation of it in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, Paul's writing a letter to the Philippians, and he says this about Christ. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God something to be grasped and held on to, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now here's where things turn. So he humbled himself. He stepped down, took on a human nature, went in obedience even to death, death on a cross. Therefore, Paul says, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. This highest name, this Lord Jesus who humbled himself, rose from the dead, and is exalted now to Lord and King of all creation, is going to make all things new one day. That's what's wrapped up in this name for Paul. That's the one who bought me. All that he's done, who he is as a son of God, and all that he's done as a son of God is wrapped up in that name for Paul. And that name means a lot, especially in this case for Paul, because think about what Paul's looking at. He's looking at a path, a painful path, that he hasn't chosen. He's got to walk. Paul knows he didn't choose it, and he's probably thinking, who would choose a path of suffering? Ah, the lights go on for Paul. Who chose a path of suffering? Who chose a painful path? My Lord, the King, Jesus Christ, chose a painful path. That's what happened. That's what we celebrate at Christmas and the Advent. It wasn't thrust upon him. He took it on himself. He stepped down, took on a human nature, humbled himself, born under the law, homeless, suffering, pain, crucifixion, buried, and under the power of death for 3 days. That is a painful path, but it's a path that Christ took on for himself to redeem our painful past. That's what Paul's thinking. My path is for good now. Why? Because he took a painful path for me. He went first. He was a pioneer who went first into that painful path and through it to redeem my painful path. Now my path, it looks bad in the world's eyes. It's going to mean suffering. It's going to mean my death. But you know what? It's ultimately for good. Christ redeems it. He's using this to plant seeds of the gospel that will bear fruit eternally. And not only that, when I die, he's bringing me into glory. So Paul says in Philippians again, whether in life or in death, my goal is to glorify him, the name. The one who took on a painful path for me to redeem my painful path, to make it all good. That's what Romans 8 is all about at the end. Paul says, so nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Not pain, not suffering, not the sword, not famine, anything. Name it. Put anything in a list. Put any path in there. And Paul says, Christ redeemed it. He bought it. And now it's not worthless. It's not meaningless. It's for a good redemptive purpose. He's going to change the world. That's what should give us hope and drive us as Christians through painful paths. Because isn't the most difficult thing just getting tired? I believe that's where the devil gets us most, is when we're just emotionally tired. I don't have it left, Lord. Where do we go? Where's the well that we find the water to give us nourishment and feed us at that time? It's here, Paul says. Go to Christ and recognize why you're going down this painful path. It's for him and his glory, and he will receive glory from it. That should keep the engine running for you, Paul says, like it does for me. That's what he's trying to tell these people. That's what's driving me. I'm ready, whether it's imprisonment or even dying in Jerusalem. Why? For the name. It's a great name. He's a great Savior. This Lord Jesus loved me and took on a painful path for me. So I'd encourage you today, when you come to the table of the Lord Jesus as a believer, think about that. This is what should give you the energy and strength to pursue and persevere the painful path God may have called you to right now or in the future, or it may be preparing you for that painful path. It's the gas that you need for the engine to see, my Lord, the King, is worth every ounce of my life or my death. He bought me at a price because he's a loving Savior. I love him. He chose a painful path for me. And I'm willing to walk down any painful path, Lord Jesus, you call me to for your glory. May your name be praised. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your kindness to sinners. You, the one who chose a painful path for us. Lord Jesus, we want our lives, all of our life, to be for your glory. And we trust you to make it that way, Lord, as we follow you in tough times. Give us strength, give us energy, and do it all that your name would be praised. We ask in your powerful and precious and matchless name, Jesus. Amen.